Parshas Boy, which is the parsha that Yetzias Mitzrayim happens in, is also a parsha where half of our tefillin is written in Parshas Boy. There's four parshas in tefillin: Kadesh, V'hayu Kiviyach, Shema, and V'hayu Shamaya. The parsha of Kadesh, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, and the parsha of V'hayu Kiviyach, which are in our tefillin, are the last two parshas, the last two sections of Parshas Boy. And both of them mention tefillin. Both of those parashiyas mention tefillin. In the first one, V'hayaki yiviyacha, V'haya l'cha l'ois al yadcha l'zikarim bein einecha, and the second, that's in the parasha of Kadesh, starts off with Kadesh. And the second one, which is V'hayaki yiviyacha, ends off the last pasuk in the parsha, V'haya l'ois al yadcho l'taytafos bein einecha, ki b'chayzek yad ha'itziyonu Hashem Yimitzrayim. There's a hadgasha here of the Indian of the mitzvah of tefillin and Yetzias Mitzrayim. That first of all, right at the time that they were going out of Mitzrayim, Moshe was commanded about the mitzvah of tefillin. And secondly, both of the parshiyas, two of the four parshiyas that we have in our tefillin are in Parshas Boy. And also, in both of those parshiyas, it talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim and wearing tefillin in the same pasuk. V'hayo l'cha l'ois al yadcha, and so on, ki b'yad chazaka yitziyacha Hashem Yimitzrayim. And then a few psukim later, the same thing. V'hayo l'ois al yadcha, ki b'chayzik yad yitziyonu Hashem Yimitzrayim. So there's some kesher here, obvious kesher here, no pun intended, between the Indian of tefillin and the Indian of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Also, I'd like to touch upon, we all know that the parashiyos of Shema Yisrael, Rabbi B'Shalach Yisrael Mishpatim are known by the Sfarim HaKadoshim as the parashiyos of Shoivavim. And there are many different mahalachim that all go around the same idea about why specifically these parashiyos are parashiyos that a Yid has special strength to work on the Kedusha of his body, the Kedusha HaGuf of a Yid. We have our minigas to learn the Yanuv Taras HaMishpacha on these weeks, to have Shiurim on these weeks. Agav, I should mention that I think next Tuesday Rav Pinchas Breuer is coming to Waterbury to speak about the Yanuv Shoivavim to men and to women. The time wasn't established yet.
I think it was
canceled.
What?
So let's try to explore the mitzvah of tefillin a little bit and then come back to Yetzias Mitzrayim and to Shoivavim. When we have a mitzvah, and it's something that we have to learn to be nischanich, when we have a mitzvah, so there's the idea of the mitzvah, which obviously is something that we only can have a little bit of a taste of. Every mitzvah is higher than the highest heights and deeper than the deepest depths. It's impossible for us to understand the depth of a mitzvah. But whatever we're able to grasp of the depth of a mitzvah, the inyanim of a mitzvah permeate every single aspect of the mitzvah. So if we have a mitzvah of tefillin is a very interesting mitzvah. Tefillin look interesting, they have interesting halachas. It's an interesting mitzvah. Whatever the inyan of tefillin is going to permeate the whole essence of what the tefillin is. I would like to discuss a few aspects, but the emes is that whatever it is, whatever we're going to discuss about tefillin, permeates everything. Tefillin are black. I'm not going to discuss that. Tefillin are black. There's a reason for that. Tefillin are made out of leather. There's a reason for that. And so on. There's an inyan with tefillin that we have unique by tefillin that they should be put into batim, into houses. We put them into little compartments, into houses. What's the idea to take the parashas and to put them into houses? There's a hakpada, halacha l'maishu misinai, there's a hakpada that those houses, that those batim, be square. What's the inyan dafka that tefillin be square? And it's interesting that you don't find in the natural bria the square shape. Naturally, I guess it could be to some exception I don't know about, but the way the Sfarim bring down, there's no such a thing as a square shape in the bria. Every cell, every nivra, there's no animal that has a square head. It's an interesting thing. There's nothing in the Bria naturally that comes in a perfect square. Everything in the Bria naturally is round or roundish. If you pour something thick, you see that it just goes equally, the Derech HaTev is that it goes equally in every direction and naturally becomes round. That's the natural way the Teva works. So Tefillin is telling us to shape something unnatural. What's the Indian in that? The Shalroish were told to put at a place on the head that's a makim shemoichai shel tinek roifev. It's a place where the head of a child is soft. And we all know that every new mother is very, very nervous of people getting near the baby's head. The soft spot on the baby's head. As the child gets older, so that soft spot on the head hardens. And that's what we end up with, hard heads. But the makim of Hanachas Tefillin, the makim of the Shalroish of Hanachas Tefillin, is supposed to go until the makim Moichai Shal Tenek Roifev. It's not a coincidence. There must be some message there. We're mechuyev to put on the Shalyad before the Shalroish. As we all know, we put on the Shalyad, and then we put on the Shalroish, and we take off our Tefillin in the opposite order. First the Shalroish, and then the Shalyad. In other words, unless a person is missing his Shalyad, in which case he just puts on a Shalroish, in the normal sequence of the Kiyum HaMitzvah of wearing Tefillin, you never have the Shalroish on without the Shalyad. By the time you put the Roish on, you already have the Yad on, and by the time you take off the Yad, you already took off the Shalroish. You never have the Shalroish on without the Shalyad. What's the Indian in that? We're not allowed to be mafsik between the Shalyad and the Shalroish. And this is a serious thing, because we see that the Gemara says in Saita, a famous Gemara, that it says that if someone is afraid that he has Averis, so he shouldn't go to Milchama, he should leave. He's Misyari me'averis shabiyadeh. So the Gemara gives an example. What averis are we talking about? And the Gemara says that's a sach bein tefila shal yad la tefila shal roish. Someone who speaks between the shal yad and the shal roish. That's an example of an avera that you should not go to war. And obviously we want to discover why specifically that mashal. There are a lot of... Pasha's idea is to show it doesn't have to be such a big avera not to go to war. Even if you have little averis, you shouldn't go to war. Guys, I can think of a couple of other little averis. Why dafka punk talking between the shalyad and shalroish? And what big yetzahara is there to talk between the shalyad and the shalroish? So not the hardest, one of the hardest misses that we have. I want to start with the Ramban. It's tucked away neatly at the end of Parshas Vayetze, and therefore most people don't come across this Ramban. But I think it's a yesod in Yiddishkeit. It said, we mentioned it, I think, 2 years ago, not this year, I think we mentioned it last year. It says that when Yaakov Avinu came towards Eretz Yisrael, so he saw a contingency of Malachim. And he said, Machane Elohim Zeh. This is a Machane of Hashem. Vayikra Shem HaMokim Ahu Machanayim. He named that place Machanayim. Camps. Now Machanayim is camps, but Machane is a camp. Machanayim means two camps. But it doesn't just mean two camps. If you know a little Hebrew, you know that it could have been machanos as camps. Machanayim means a set of two. Like yodayim is a set of two hands. Raglayim is a set of 2 feet. Oznayim is a set of 2 ears. When you have a set of two, that's when you have that ayim in the end. Nachon? It's not the natural Lashon Rabim of something. Someone who has 2 tables doesn't say he has Shulchanayim. He doesn't say that. He has Shulchanos. Something that's Nisrabim that there happens to be 2 of, you don't have that ending. When there's a set of 2, hands, feet, ears, eyes, Einayim, so then we have this type of an ending, this type of a plural. So Machanayim doesn't just mean 2 camps, it means specifically like a set. It's a set of 2. What's the set of 2? So the Ramban says, Loimar to say ki machanehu ba'aretz ki machane ha-malachim. The 2 camps is the camp of Yaakov Avinu himself and the contingency of Malachim that he saw. And the idea was to show that it was parallel. The way the Malachim were set up in Shemayim was exactly the way his machane was. Now, I don't know what that means. But there was a parallel between the machane of Yaakov Avinu and the machane of the Malachim in Shemayim. And that's the job of Adam on this world. The job of Adam on this world is to take the Seder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ratzon Hashem, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants things to be, and to implement that order of things in this world. Hashem has priorities. Hashem has an Ikar and a Tafel. Hashem has the way, and a certain Ratzon and a certain desire. When our camp is a reflection of the priorities of Hashem, that's Machanayim. That our Machane on the ground is a reflection of the Machane of Hashem in Shemayim. It's not the first time we find this concept with Yaakov Avinu. In the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu was sleeping and he saw the Malachim going up the ladder, so it says that they saw the Tzura of Adam in Shemayim, and they saw Yaakov Avinu, and they were going up and down, noticing that it was exactly the same. And that doesn't mean that Yaakov's face looked like the face in Shemayim. It wasn't like the Malachim didn't have to spend time being amazed that it had to look alike. You know, that wasn't the idea. The idea was that Yaakov was a person who made himself exactly like the Tzura of what Hashem wants in Adam to be. Exactly like the Tzura of the way it is in Shemayim, the way in Adam should be. That's exactly what Yaakov implemented in his life in this world. That was an exact reflection of that. And on every level, and we're going to discuss a few different levels, an interesting mahalach, we'll discuss a few different levels, that's the job of Adam, to take the das that's in Shemayim, and to bring it down into this world that doesn't naturally have it, and to reorder this world with the priorities and the das and the kedusha that the Rabbanu Shlomo wants. This is a little bit of a hemshech of what we spoke about last week, about Yiras Shemayim. That the Madrega of Adam, the Madrega of Yirei Shemayim, is not just to have Yirei Shemayim when he's in Shemayim, but it's to have Yirei Shemayim even when he's not in Shemayim. Even when the Makkah is over, we said the Mitzriyim, the Chisar and the Mitzriyim, the reason why they weren't Roy to be called an Adam, is because they only Terem Tirun Lepnei Hashem Alekim, they only had Yira while they were in front of Hashem. While the Makkah was going, you couldn't really miss the fire and the ice together. You couldn't really miss the Rabbanu Shalom, then they had Yirei Shemayim. But to take that das, to take that realization, and to implement it elsewhere, that they didn't do. That's Klal Yisrael's job. So let's look at that. We'll take a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, and let's look at it in its different levels. This idea. Vayomer Elokim, and Hashem said, Na'ase Adam, let's make man. This is Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chavav. B'tzalmeinu kidmuseinu, in our form, in our image. B'tzalem Elokim. V'yirdu, and they will rule, and Adam will rule, he'll dominate, b'dgas hayom, and the fish of the sea, u'ba'oif ha'shamayim, and the birds of the sky, u'ba'behema, and on the animals, u'b'chol ha'oreth, and the whole world, u'b'chol ha'remes, ha'remes, ha'loreth, and everything that crawls on the world. What does it mean that man is in the image of Hashem? So Rashi says, kidmuseinu, lahavinu lahaskil, to have understand, to have das, to have understanding. And the job of Adam was, Hashem said, let's create Adam with understanding, and that his understanding should extend. V'yirdu doesn't mean with a gun. V'yirdu means that Adam with his das should rule, should dominate over everything else in the Bria. And the natural state of things is, if a person doesn't have chataim and so on, is that the whole Bria is afraid of Adam. The whole Bria is subservient to Adam. That means that I'm creating a world, and the world is a bunch of different pieces. It doesn't seem to have any seder. Let there be an Adam in that world who has das, who can understand what my priorities are, how I want the world organized, that I don't want there to be klayim, and I want there to be a base on mikdash, and I want animals to be used like this, and I want these animals to be eaten, and these animals not to be eaten, and I want this type of a hakoras atayv when things grow out of the ground, and so on and so forth. The whole seder of that we're able to implement with this raw material called the world. That's taking our das and applying it, v'yirdu, to dominate the fish, the birds, the animals, the earth, the insects. Everything has its place. Everything has its makom, everything has its place. When we take our das and we apply the das of Hashem to the raw material, to the world that Hashem gave it, the world looks like chaos until a man comes and puts a seder to the bria. There's also, Rav Huttner uses this terminology, and it's a beautiful terminology. He says, within man alone, there's also man and animal. Within a person himself, there's the man part of the person, and there's the animal part of the person. What he calls, and he always finds the exact perfect way to coin a phrase, he has the Adam Sheba Adam and the Behema Sheba Adam. The man in the man and the Behema in the man. And he says, this pasuk, just like it instructs man to rule over animal, it instructs the man of man to rule over the animal of man. The Adam Sheba Adam to rule over the Behema Sheba Adam. And that's the same idea. Hashem gave us a body, and that body has many different instincts, impulses, desires, needs. It's chaos. And with our Seicha, with our Das, we're supposed to be able to implement an order to the chaos. This is man for achila, this is man for shena, this is man for zivug, this is man for using the guf, and this is man for not using it. This is man for doing malacha, this is man for shvisa of malacha, of not doing malacha. This guf, this body of ours, which is so multifaceted and so multi-talented, needs something to direct it. It needs a seder. And that seder is the person's mind. That he instructs the guf when things are working properly, when that viyirdu is in place. He instructs the guf, when is it time for this, or when it's time for that, when it's too much of this, or too little of that. So it's the same pasuk again. That's the das, v'yirdu, and to rule over the behema, the chaya v'oif, but now we're turning that internally, the behema, chaya v'oif, that's within a person. We once spent a whole shir on this nekuda, we called it the great disconnect, the difficulty of taking what's in our seichel and implementing it into what's lamaisa, implementing it into our daily life. And Adam, before he did his chait, was much better at it. It was much more immediate that the ideas that were in his seichel, the ideology, the shittas, were the way he lived. And we know how painfully difficult it is today. We could be the biggest balei shita and happening so clear in our minds, but that viyirdu, that implementing that seder in the way we live, is not so easy. That's where do as I say, not as I do comes from. That great disconnect. Like, I have it right, but I'm just not doing it. That's the Betzalmenu Kidmuseinu. We have the Das, but we're missing the Viyirdu. We're missing implementing it into action. There's another. So we had man and the world. We had Das and the Guf. There's another place where there's this idea. And that's within the family of man. There's 70 nations and there's Klal Yisrael. There's 70 nations of the world and there's Klal Yisrael. If you had to point to where's the Adam Sheba Adam and where's the Behema Sheba Adam within this family of men. So Klal Yisrael is supposed to be the Das, the highest moral authority, the one to whom the nations look for guidance, for morality, for also for an order in the Bria. The man of man is Klal Yisrael. The behema of man, they're an Adam. Chaviv Adam, Shenivra B'Tselem, according to most Mepharshim, is talking about Goyim. They're an Adam, but they're the behema Sheba Adam. It's like the relationship between my mind and my arms and legs is the relationship between Klal Yisrael and all the Goyim. And things are not like, things aren't the way they should be now that we're in Golos, but the way things should be, in a matzav of v'na'ar u'el of kol ha'goyim, where all the goyim stream to Klal Yisrael to organize their lives and to organize their existence based on the perspective of Klal Yisrael, that's again nase adam b'tzalmenu kidmuseinu. That's Klal Yisrael with their seichel, the yirdu, and they should rule. They should dominate not with guns, not with bombs. They should dominate by the koyach of their seichel to be able to instruct and direct all the behema chayav oif, meaning all the nations of the world. It's important to realize this, and I think an important ta'ara comes out from this, in the difference between the das of a yid and the das of a guy. the way a yid's comprehension and intelligence and implementing his intelligence works, and the way it works by a guy. The Sfarim say there's two kinds of das. There's a das of gadlus and there's a das of katnus. Rav Hutner refers to it differently, and it's very also the perfectly coined phrase. Rav Hutner says that there's such a thing called a das yoytzeres, and there's such a thing called a das maskemes. A das maskemes means that I know what's going on, but I'm not implementing what's going on. I'm just going along with it. He says, Lamashal, his mashal is like this. If I owe you $1,000, so you tell me I owe you $1,000, and I pay, I agree. I owe you $1,000, and I pay you. My das is agreeing to what's going on, but it's not creating the situation. That's a das maskemes. That's a smaller level of... I see what's going on, and I'm going along with it. Das yetzeres is when I go in front of two edim and I say, I'm being mechayev myself, I'm obligating myself to pay you $1,000. I didn't owe you money, and now I do. When that's a das that creates a chiv. It created something. I created a chiv that didn't exist before. That difference in das is the difference between the das of a yid and the das of a guy. A guy, his role is not to implement his das on the rest of the world like ours is. He has to serve Hashem based on the way he's instructed. That's why there's no nasa v'nishma. Goyim never had a nasa v'nishma. They never had to create their chiyuvim like we did. They just were told what to do and they have to do it. And we hope one day they will. But you didn't create their chiyuv because their place in the world is the yirdu. They have to have a das and they're the ones that have to implement it in the world. I think it could be that we find this unbelievable thing, something that's it's hard to miss, especially in history and in the world, that Klal Yisrael is unique in its demand that its leaders live what they teach. We have the United States, for example, just to pick a country we're familiar with, is made up of, has many, many great leaders, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. And anyone who knows a little history knows that they were all behemoths. Every last one of them. The great Benjamin Franklin, if you read about him, you discover things that you feel you'll regret you read. Thomas Jefferson, you know, the great Thomas Jefferson, the writer of the Constitution. The great mind, the great thinker, and the great animal. And they were great in where they were great. They were great. They were great thinkers. They really were. It's undeniable. If you read the things that these people wrote and the things they did, they were really great. I'm not saying they weren't great. They were really great. But they also had a great disconnect. They could not implement their das into their own lives. By Yidden, there's no such a thing. By Yidden, we have this demand that we expect, it's pasha to us, that if a gadol b'Yisrael is teaching something, we know that everyone has their failures and their faults and so on. But we expect, overall, in the broad picture, we expect that the way they live is a reflection of what they teach. We expect there not to be a disconnect. We expect there to be a connection. And that's because that's what a yid is. A yid is not just someone with das, but someone who knows how to implement that das. But those are just a side point. But those are the three levels. Man klapi the world, man klapi himself, and Klal Yisrael klapi the Umas HaOlam. It's a famous chazal that we know. When Klal Yisrael received the Torah, so they said, Nasa v'nishma, we will do and we will hear, which makes no sense. Because how could you do something if you don't hear it? It's the wrong order. You can't do something that you don't know. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nispoil, the Gemara says in Shabbos, and he said, "Mi gila raz zel levanai? Who told this secret to my children? Raz shemalachi asharis mishtam shimboi, a secret that the malachim use. Who told this great secret to my children?" The idea, the Svarim teachers are saying we will do before we will hear, is not that we're going to do something before we know what to do. That's ridiculous. The idea is to show that there's not going to be any separation between hearing and doing. If I would say we will hear and we will do, so you might have happened, we will hear, and then a year or two later we will do. It's in stages. But if I, by the time I said we will hear, I already said we will do, so that means that the minute I hear it, consider it done. If you ask someone, could you do me a favor? And he says, absolutely, whatever you want. So, obviously he can't do it until you tell him what to do. But you know that as soon as you say it, you can consider it done. That's Nasav, and that's the godless of Nasav and Ishma. And that's what we're talking about. That's what the whole job of Adam in this world is, to be able to implement into this world the Das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly through the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And when the Klal Yisrael received that Torah, they expressed it that way. They said that there's not going to be any hefsek. The way the Torah is, the Tzura of the Torah is going to be immediately implemented into the world. Na'aseh v'nishma. Consider it done. What are you going to do? As soon as you tell me, it's going to be done. There's a letter that Rav Huttner wrote to somebody, and it's a very, very cryptic letter. And he ends off, I'm writing very bekitzer because of, you know, out of respect for your own intelligence, that I know how smart you are, for Chacham Kamoyscha, for Maven Kamoyscha, I don't have to write Barichas, but we're not such Chacham, and we wish he would have written a little more Barichas. But he says this idea there that I found very, very fascinating. Torah is an intellectual pursuit. We learn Torah. It's an intellectual thing. Tefillin, he says, is like taking Torah and making it into a mitzvah. If you're able to take Torah and make it into a mitzvah, it's tefillin. I'll explain what that means in a minute. But before I explain what it means, I'm going to bring an unbelievable raya that Rav Huttner points out. We're told to learn Torah in many places in the Torah. V'limadetem, v'shinantem, to learn. All different lashonos of learning. Shinun is the lashon of sharpness. There's no place in the Torah where it says that you should speak out the divrei Torah. You should actually speak it out. You could learn it. You could learn it with your eyes. Now it's true. It says v'shinatim livanecha. So obviously the only way to transfer it is by speaking. But what? Let me get back to that. I guess it depends on the pshat on the Ladabar Bum, when he says that. I guess because the pashas of Ladabar Bum is... I'm not sure what the pashas is, but the way we understand Ladabar Bum, Shiftecha v'veisecha, v'lechtecha v'lechtecha, is the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So maybe that's why he says it's not as boil. That's a good point, but maybe that's his point. There is a pasuk, though, that says to speak out Divrei Torah, and that's Laman Tia Torah Hashem Beficha. That the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. And that pasuk was said by the parasha, by the mitzvah of tefillin. Dafka by the mitzvah of tefillin in this week's parasha. V'haya lecha lo'ois al yadcha, it should be a sign on your hand, u'lezikarim bein einecha, and a zikarim between your eyes, l'man tia teres Hashem b'ficha, that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. So Rav Huttner says, the whole Torah doesn't say so clearly, Mordechai's pointing out, it says l'davribam, at least in one way of understanding the pasuk. But in the whole Torah, it doesn't say so clearly to speak out words of Torah. Where does it say it? By tefillin. So he says, because tefillin is actualizing the chiyuv of Talmud Torah. So the actualizing within Talmud Torah is also said there. Within learning Torah, which part is in our minds and which part is l'maisa? The part in our minds is the seichel that's going on in our minds. When we speak it out, that's the most lemaisadika part of learning Torah. Since tefillin, he says, is a mitzvah, it's like the mitzvah comparison, the mitzvah parallel of Talmud Torah. So over there by tefillin, it says the action part of Talmud Torah. Leman tia Torah Hashem b'ficha. Okay, so what are we talking about over here? What's the similarity between tefillin and Torah? It sounds very... very strange. The pshat is like this. The pshat is that the whole inyan of Kabbalah Satayra, as we're explaining, is to take that das from Hashem, this das elyon, this das from Hashem, and to implement it into this lower world. K'machaneu ba'aretz kach, that's the machane of Malachim and Shemayim, the same thing should be the machane ba'aretz. To implement the das of Hashem in this world, that's what the Torah is. Tefillin is the same way. We wrap tefillin around our moyach, our seichel. That's where we're masik things. That's das. And then we wrap the tefillin around our arm. That's where we do things. That's asiya. That's action. And tefillin represents taking what's in my seichel, taking what my seichel, what my das is masik, and implementing it in action, which is what the whole Kabbalah Satayra is all about. So a mitzvah expression of Talmud Torah, the whole inyan of Talmud Torah is to take the das of Hashem and to implement it in this world. A mitzvah expression of Talmud Torah is to wrap the Taitav is bein enecha, to wrap it around my head. That's where I understand. That's my seichel. That's my neshama. That's where I understand things. And then to quickly, without a hefsek, to quickly wrap it around my arm. That's actually the other way. We'll talk about it in a second. But without a hefsek, it should be wrapped around my arm because that's the implementation of that das. And that's just getting to what I just mentioned. And just like by Nasa v'Nishma, just like by Torah, the asiya, the doing, was mentioned before the hearing, so too by Tfilin, the shaliyad, the doing part, is put on before the shalroish, the hearing part. And this, the Sfarim say, I found in two other Makayras, the Sfarim say that the shalroish is keneged Nishma, and the shaliyad is keneged Nasa. So it's an amazing parallel, just like by Nasa v'Nishma, we spoke about doing, and then about hearing, we spoke about action, and then about the Das. So in the mitzvah of Tefillin, which is an action mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we do the action part, we do the Shalyad, the Nasa, and then we put on the Shalroish, that's the Nishma. And just like by Talmud Torah, the whole concept of Talmud Torah was saying depends on a das of godless, not just a das of I agree with what's going on, but a das of creating, of implementing. That's a das of godless, not just a das maskemes, a das that, oh, I owe you money, I agree. But a das that creates, a das that implements, so the place to put that shorosh, the place to put that shalroish, which indicates the das, is the place on the head that you could see the difference between a katan and a gadol. The one place on the head that you could see the difference between a katan and a gadol is the place that's soft when you're a katan, and it hardens up when you become a gadol. That's the place to put the shalroish to show that the das that we're talking about is a das that's dependent on godless. It's not enough to know what's going on, but the whole purpose of this das is to implement, to activate, to do something with it. Not just to be a casual observer. And that's why it's b'makim shemoichi shel tinek roifiv. Rav Hirsch says that's why the tefillin is a bias. He says the inyan of a bias we know in the whole Torah is a makim kavua. A tent, for example, always represents something aroi. It's not, a tent is like you're camping for a day, you put up a tent. But if you're planning on being somewhere for a couple of years, you buy a house. He says the idea is to take the Dvar Hashem and to make it kavua in this world. We make it into a bias. We put it in a bias. We house it in a bias to show its kvius. And he points out, Kedarkei Bakodesh, all over Tanakh, where the inyan of bias is an inyan of kvius. And then we get to the squareness of the bias. It's because there's no square in the Bria that the tefillin have to be square. Because the whole inyan of tefillin is that I'm going to take the das and I'm going to implement a seder into this Bria. Leaving it the way it is, it's chaos. It's my job to do something in this world. Not just to be a casual observer, but to do something, to shape, to mold. So the tefillin have to be a shape that doesn't exist in the Bria. You can't make tefillin without the das of a person. It's not in the Bria, that shape. The whole inyan of tefillin and the inyan of Torah is to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a das that we should activate, we should mold, we should do something. It should affect us, it should transform, it should give order to things. So the shape of the tefillin itself is a shape that doesn't exist without man doing something. You won't find anything square in the Bria. If you find something square, man was there. Someone who's afraid that he has Averis, he should go back. And Chazal say, this is someone who speaks between the Shalyan and the Shalroish. Well, someone who has Averis, there's that disconnect. He's not having the ability to implement what the Seichel is Masik into his guf, into the action. So that's Hefsik between the Shalyan and Shalroish. He has to go back. And it's Dafka from war. Because if the Adam Sheba Adam can't rule over the Behemoth Sheba Adam, so then in the other sense of it, Klal Yisrael is not going to be able to rule over the Umay Sa'ilam, the Goyim, which is also the Adam Sheba Adam ruling over the Behemoth Sheba Adam. Everything works together. If the man within me can't rule over the animal within me, then I can't be part of Klal Yisrael being the man, ruling over the Umay Sa'ilam being the animal. Only someone who within himself it's connected, his das affects his guf, so he can go as Klal Yisrael and be shaylet over Umas Ha'ilam. Yitzias Mitzrayim is one of the clearest examples of das turning into action, and it's really on two levels. Klal Yisrael were on a very low madrega in Mitzrayim. And they were on such a low madrega that the Malachim couldn't tell the difference between them. Halalu oiv de avay dezara ve halalu oiv de avay dezara. The Malachim complained to Hashem, why are you giving these people special treatment? They're also oiv de avay dezara. But yet, deep inside Yidden, they had the inheritance that they inherited from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that made them different. And it was at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim until Kriyas Yamsuf, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that das, that hidden Kedusha, and he brought it out to Lamaisa, he made it part of them. It was the Yerusha of the Kaychas that were hidden in a person is a Kayach. But you couldn't see it. It didn't break the surface. You couldn't see it. It was through Yitzias Mitzrayim that suddenly people that were halalu ev de'avay dezara v'halalu ev de'avay dezara, by the time the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim was over, they were saying zeh keli v'anveyu. They saw the Rabbeinu Shalom. They had such a closeness to Hashem. That process of taking that hidden Kedusha and bringing it out, breaking the surface, bringing it out into this world, that's what Yitzias Mitzrayim is. That's that connection, the Shalyan and the Sharosh. The das that was hidden deep inside their neshama broke out into the lamaisa and became part of them. And at the same time that happened within themselves, all the nations of the world became subservient to them. Mitzrayim was the strongest nation in the world, and along with that, Shamu Amim Yergazo, nations heard and they trembled. Chil Ochaz Yeshvei Peloshes, the those in living in Peloshes, a trembling gripped them, and so on and so forth. The Pesukim describe how all the nations of the world shook and trembled as Klal Yisrael took their place as the strongest, most powerful entity in the Bria, which whether visible or not visible, is the place that Klal Yisrael remains. So at the same time that within Klal Yisrael their hidden kaychas broke through v'shas the process of Yitzias Mitzrayim until Kriyas Yamsuf, the same exact thing is true within their relationship with the Goyim also. That the nation called Klal Yisrael shattered it from being mibeis avadim, from being avadim, they took their place to the point that the strongest nation of the world was brought to their knees, and all the other nations of the world sat b'pachad u'be'ema. Like Rachav HaZayna, I think it is, describes to the Meraglim that come to Eretz Yisrael, how scared they were when they heard that Klal Yisrael was coming. How frightened they were. That's the Eima of the Adam Sheba Adam ruling over and dominating the Behema Sheba Adam. So it's not a coincidence that at the time that we learn about this Yitzias Mitzrayim, this Yitzia from that disconnect. So you'd see it from that disconnect. Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim had all that Kedusha, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, not so many generations before. All that Kedusha packed inside, and it was not connected with who they were. And Yitzias Mitzrayim reconnected, it was plugged in. Yidden started to shine on the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then as the days of Yitzias Mitzrayim passed, until Kriyas Yamsa, which they were on a tremendously high Madrega, and then ultimately to be kind of that Madrega over the 49 days until Shavuos, that process was a tremendous process of being mashlit the Adam Sheba Adam on the Behema Sheba Adam, of bringing out that hidden Das, that hidden Kedusha, bringing it out Lamaisa. So that's the time that we learn about the Parsha of Tefillin. That's the time that we have it repeated again and again, that we should wear Tefillin, because I took you out of Mitzrayim. Because I showed you what it means to take that hidden das that's inside and make it break the surface and become part of you. So that's what you have to do in your own lives also, to take that which you understand and make it part of you. Take the shell. Make sure you're never wearing a shell rosh without a shell yad. Make sure the shell, whenever you have a shell rosh on, the shell yad is on already. Nasa v'nishma. And if the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and if the concept of Tefillin is connecting that Adam Sheba Adam over the Behema Sheba Adam, suddenly it becomes Pasha, like it's almost, you don't have to talk about why these are the weeks of Shavuot. The weeks of Shavuot are weeks of a person's Das being able to dominate over his Guf, being able to use his Guf properly, that there should be a correct Seder for the Kaychas HaGuf. The when and how and why, all these things become implemented Lamaisa in the Guf, the Kedusha of the Guf. So at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that within the broad spectrum of Klal Yisrael, they, what was deep inside in theory became action, became Lamaisa, which is the time also that they were commanded about the mitzvah of tefillin, that the whole concept of tefillin is that that which I wrap around my head, which I have a tefisa in my seichel, I also wrap around my arm. It's also the way I live. I don't speak between my tefillin shel yad and my tefillin shel rosh. That's also a time that we have a special ability to be nischazik in all inyanim of connecting what our das is to the way we act, our guf. That the Adam Sheba Adam should rule over the Behema Sheba Adam. It's important to realize, I ate in yeshiva this Friday night with my family, and I was speaking about the parasha, and I was saying over part of what we said last week on Sunday about Yerushalayim. And while I was talking, I just got frustrated while I was talking. And I said, out of frustration, I said that I think we should make a takana, no more speaking by Sheva Brachos and Afrofs, Bar Mitzvahs, no more. No more speaking to Brit Torah. If you want to speak about the Chasan and Kala, get up and say, I'd like to say a few words about the Chasan and Kala. You want to speak about the Bar Mitzvah Bacher, get up and speak about the Bar Mitzvah. No more speaking. Because what happened is a tremendous kilkel happened. And that is that we got used to this idea that, oh, the Bar Mitzvah Bacher's name is Shneir Zalman, and it's Parshas Chayesara, and the Gematria of Shneir Zalman is a Pasuk in Parshas Chayesara, and we got used to not using the Torah, but abusing the Torah. Because it became the Torah became the place that we go to be able to pick out nice drushes. And in the Parsha of the Week, and it becomes such a stretch and such a joke, and I've heard things that are really, and it's really unbelievable, that when we sit honestly trying to figure out how to shtay, we say, these weeks are shayv, shmayz, v'ayr, v'ayr, v'shan, chayyusim, mishvatim, shayv of him, it's a chance for us to do tshuva. It's a chance for us to harness the abilities of our guf properly. It's also a drasha. It's also a drasha. So that's why I said on Friday night, I was like, I'm talking about Yiras Shemayim. If it says Yiras Shemayim in Parshas Va'era, that means that we can get Yiras Shemayim today on Parshas Va'era. That means there's a treasure here that Hashem is giving us. If it talks about being able to be kind of Yiras Shemayim. I think when we talk about these things, I'm just bringing it up because I just mentioned it on Leil Shabbos, we have to realize that when we see these things in a parsha, that there's a tefillin shel rosh and a tefillin shel yad, and these few things that I mentioned, this is not even scratching the surface, and I can't even scratch the surface of how deep such a mitzvah is, but you see how beautiful the mitzvah is. Everything fits into place, the talking, the tinnik shel, the moichai shel tinnik, and everything fits into place beautifully, the bias, the square, everything fits in beautifully. There's a message here, and it's in this week's parasha. And that means that there's changes that we could make now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is affording us these changes now. It's not some kind of, like, favor that Hashem did for people giving shiurim, that the Torah was divided into 52 weeks. And that means each week, basically, I only have to find something to say on these few pages. It's not the reason it was set up this way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doles out a shefa and a bracha and a zgula and kaychas based on what the parasha of the week is. And that's where it originally came from. It used to be when Gedolim used to quote the parasha of the week, it's because they were really drawing strength and kedusha and steiging from the parasha of the week. And our speaking by Sheva Brachas and destroyed it. Because now we became so abused that now we're like, oh, shayvavim cute. You know, when I was saying yeshiva, I spoke about using even the hard part of the Zman. Now we're getting to the hard part of the Zman in yeshiva. It's a long winter Zman. It's ready the end of Teves. It's a hard part of the Zman. That's a special, special Zman of Aliyah. So I said, you're probably thinking that if it would have been Parshas Bamidbar, I would have found something about that in Parshas Bamidbar. But that's not where I started from. I started from Parshas Va'era, and then I realize what the message is. I think it's an important thing for us to realize, not just for this week, but the Rosh HaTevis, the Shavivim, or Ma'ayur to me, that we have to realize that when we talk about different things that come out of a parasha or a time of the year, it's a siman, it's a little bit of a siman, that Hashem has a huge treasure house, and He opens it up for us to take different types of treasures, different weeks. And the treasures for this week are Adam Sheba Adam being shaled over the Behema Sheba Adam, or whatever else, the hundreds of different Eitzers that are in each parasha. I think it's clear, based on this parallel that I'm saying, about Adam Sheba Adam and Behema Sheba Adam, that if we can just take steps, small steps, definite steps, to be mashlit, to that our seichel should be able to rule over our guf, we don't have to do anything to bring Mashiach. That alone will bring Mashiach. Because if this Adam Sheba Adam will rule over the Behema Sheba Adam, so then Klal Yisrael, the Adam Sheba Adam, will be back in its rightful place as the melech over the whole family of Adam, the Behema Sheba Adam.